Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 20th day of March, 2024. I'm excited to have a first-time guest today, not only because he has a company that he founded that is truly fascinating that I intend to take advantage of and benefit from, but we're also going to be revisiting a topic that we've had at least twice, perhaps we've had it more times that I can't remember, on this program, the topic of artificial intelligence, more commonly known as AI. We've had Christian folks who are set against this technology, artificial intelligence, and believe that it is nothing but bad news, that we are to avoid it at all costs. We are to seek to bring an end to it if we at all possibly can, through any means that we are able to do such a thing. And today's guest has a different spin on this topic, and I think it's wise to have members of the body of Christ who have different points of view on issues like this, especially that are non-salvific, be brought to light so that we can decide for ourselves when people who are very knowledgeable about a topic can disagree over it. But today's guest is Ken Powers, a software engineer and founder of Let's Church, and his professional career in engineering over the last 11 years includes many projects such as Signal, the private messaging application, and who has experience in many technologies. Today he's going to be addressing artificial intelligence, one Christian software engineer's perspective. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Ken Powers.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a joy to have you on the program, and tell us about Let's Church.
Yeah, Let's Church is a company I founded. You can think of it as like a Christian alternative to YouTube, more or less, free of charge, and there are no pre-roll ads or anything like that, but that's really only scratching the surface. Everything uploaded to the platform is transcribed into text, and all the transcripts of everything uploaded are fully searchable. And so for instance, all of Iron Sharpens Iron is uploaded on Let's Church right now, so you can look for Is That Moron My Brother?
And you'll find it. for our listeners who have no idea what that means, during one of my comedic introductions at one of the great debates on Long Island between Dr. James R. White and Roman Catholic apologists, I think this one may have featured Robert St. Genis as Dr. White's opponent, but I can't remember for certain. But I said that James White had written a sequel to his book, Is the Mormon My Brother? And this book was titled, Is That Moron My Brother? And it was about me. It's just so our listeners understand what that even meant.
Exactly, yeah. So if you actually go to Let's Church right now, it's at let's.church. You type in, is that moron my brother? And it'll pull up that exact moment. So all the transcript results come up with timestamps, and you can click on the result, and it'll fast forward to exactly where that was said.
Cool.
I'm also working on a church search and profiles feature right now. And so people will be able to find biblically faithful churches in their area and listen to all their sermons and search what they like, topics they're interested in learning about, all from the same interface, and eventually even be able to ask AI questions like, hey, what does this church teach about like total inability? And it'll form an answer and give you all the timestamps and show you everywhere you need to go in each sermon to learn exactly what you're looking for.
Very cool. Now, do you have this church directory already up?
It is not up right now. The goal is to get it up by May.
Okay. Well, I know I'm going to be making use of that, because even though I have very faithful and detailed lists of solid churches all over the world, churches that I would visit and even join if I lived in those areas, are on those lists, there are still churches that have not yet been added to these lists that are excellent churches, and sometimes they're the only churches that are believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace in the areas where my listeners live, who are requesting church recommendations. And sometimes when I can't find a faithful congregation on those lists, I have to do some more searching, and sometimes I find churches that were listed nowhere, and after some further investigation and calling the pastor and so on, I find out that these are wonderful congregations. So I'm sure I'll be making use of the Let's Church directory.
Well, and Chris, I'll tell you this as well. It's being built with embedding in mind. So I'm building it in cooperation with TruthScript, John Harris's organization. And the idea is that you will be able to embed it into your website and only list the churches in the overall directory that are, you know, like pre-approved by you, for instance. So you can have your own Iron Sharpens Iron church search built right into your website and have all the same features, including the transcript search and everything, but for your listeners and churches that you know are solid.
Great. And once again, that website is let's.church. Let's.church. Of course, there's no apostrophe in the URL for let's. Let's.church. And we will repeat that, God willing, later on in the program. Well, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, that guest gives a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include the religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Yeah, so my testimony is one that no doubt your listeners are familiar with in our day and age. By God's providence, I was raised in a Christian home. In my college years, I was basically wayward. I would have called myself a Christian, but looking back on it now, I recognize that that I wasn't. But after college and starting my professional career, I had a natural drawing. I knew I wanted to go to church, and eventually got I got a flyer in the mail for a church plant in my area. Started going there, read through the Bible cover to cover for the first time, and you know, like the word says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Ultimately, decided, you know, if I'm going to call myself a Christian, I should start acting like it. And ever since then, I've been looking for opportunities to apply my skill set to and my faith more broadly.
Great. And when did you actually believe that, and how specifically did you believe that you were a person at enmity with God, that needed a new heart, that needed to be rescued from not only your enslavement to sin and your and the consequences of being in rebellion against God, and so on.
Yeah, so all this would have been happening around 2013, 2014, around then.
Yes, and explain in detail what happened.
It's a very boring story. It's hard to say because it was over a very long period of time. There was no single aha moment, but I can tell you that that when I was saved, it was just deciding, you know, like the outward manifestation of that is like, oh, well, you don't try to weasel out of stuff anymore. Like, you actually take responsibility for things you do. No more swearing, you know, the external conformities, and obviously recognizing that these things aren't just like rules just to get by in life, but that, yeah, like like you said, you're at enmity with God, and it's the outworking of faith that results in these good works that that God foreordained for us to walk in.
Now,
the other way around.
I may have not heard you because I was distracted. A listener question came in already. Did you say what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in?
I was in a broadly Protestant Christian home.
A broadly Protestant Christian home. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so
nominal.
I would say more than nominal, but like it wasn't Reformed Baptist or anything like that. It was just like the church itself would have said Protestant, but more than nominal.
Okay, and were you nurtured by your parents in the gospel and in the truths of Scripture? Did you view the Bible as an inerrant, the inerrant Word of God, and so on?
Absolutely. Oh yeah, absolutely. And so, like, you know, growing up, the church would talk about apologetics. My dad would tell me, you know, like, hey, we're Christians, so you don't do that. That kind of thing. I remember coming home, getting in trouble at school for something I did, and my mom, you know, directed me, okay, like, let's pray about this. That kind of thing.
Okay, but obviously that kind of thing could take place in nominal homes that just have all American, old-fashioned morality and so on. Like, I'm sure that if I wound up in the living room of Father Knows Best, if you even know what that is. It's a TV show going back to the 50s and 60s. But that kind of wholesome, all-American kind of home could be as lost as the folks in a brothel, you know. But they have an etiquette and a respect for God, a reverence towards God, and perhaps the Bible, a Bible that they may never even read, but they have some kind of a respectful view of it. Maybe have it on their coffee table or something. But so you believe that your parents were regenerate and born again and so on?
Yes, I believe that, yes.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our subject today. Our subject today is artificial intelligence, and this is your perspective as a Christian software engineer. And as you even said to me before we began the program, what is a working definition of artificial intelligence? Because you have informed me that, just like many things in this world, there are people who are totally misunderstanding what this even is or what it means, and they may be unnecessarily jumping to the wrong conclusions and becoming alarmists against it without really understanding what the design and intention of this is and what it actually is to begin with. So if you could give us what you believe is a genuine definition of AI.
Yeah. So the first thing to recognize is that AI is a broad term covering a number of technologies. The uniting theme is that they are, these are essentially computer programs made to imitate intelligence on the computer. But what you have to remember is, like, let's say you're talking to ChatGPT, one of these large language models out there. People are impressed and tend to think, like, oh, it feels like I'm talking to a sentient being. But what you're actually talking to is a pile of linear algebra that is just calculating lots of statistics on the fly and coming up with what words and tokens, syllables should come after these words in the sentence. And so you're talking to a very clever mathematical waterfall, but it's not actually thinking. And that's why I've never really been a fan of the term artificial intelligence, the intelligence part in particular, because there's a difference between knowledge and intelligence, right? So a wall clock has knowledge of what time it is, but that wall clock would not be able to intuit or explain to you what that time actually means. That's kind of what it is when you're talking to these AI chatbots. It has a lot of what we might call knowledge, but it's not actually sentient or thinking or anything along those lines. It's just statistics on a ticker coming up with all the next words that should come up in the sentence.
So what is it that you are under the impression that the opponents of AI, and perhaps especially Christians who are opponents of AI, but even we can include non-Christians, because there are, like, even Elon Musk is very concerned about the advancement of AI, and there are other people that are completely out of a Christian worldview. What are the things that people are misunderstanding?
So what people are misunderstanding is, there are many angles you could take about this. Like, people might think of, like, Skynet, and have this, like, autonomous system that's, like, taking over networks and that kind of thing, and, launching nukes and making sentient decisions. But even the most state-of-the-art stuff we have right now, it'll, like, browse the web and quote unquote learn things and make decisions. But what you have to remember is that all these capabilities are what we give it and what it is ultimately programmed to do. So it's the threat model is nothing that we're not already familiar with. And the other thing to remember is that AI can only go as far as the data that it's trained on. Anything that looks clever or original is actually just random. And so random, being the computer science definition of random, which is, obviously we understand that God is sovereign and in control. And so, like, random is a weird concept to talk about, but random just means unpredictably distributed across a set. So I think of the chess match. I forget who it was, but IBM's Deep Blue chess machine, and whoever was up against this machine, he was a chess grandmaster, he accused them of cheating because it made some deeply complex and clever moves that he didn't understand. And they go back and look at the logs, and it turns out, well, they weren't deep and complex and clever moves. They were actually just random because it ran out of memory. And so that was the fallback behavior.
So the folks that are basically frightened about AI that I have heard in the media and even on my show, they seem to be more worried and frightened and dismayed about what this is going to lead to. Now, do you envision that, you know, it may sound comical, but, you know, robots who are learning data and storing it and evolving and changing, you know, may become somehow entities unto themselves, for instance, and start wreaking havoc in our everyday lives and so on. I mean, in all kinds of things. I mean, even the aforementioned launching of nuclear missiles, that would be more in the computer realm, I assume, than a robot. But, you know, things like that. I mean, the thing, what are you hearing that the people are alarmed about specifically?
Yeah, so I would not be alarmed about something like that, where you have these like robots that are learning and becoming beings about themselves. So
you mean that it's not going to happen, or you don't care if it does?
No, I don't think that's going to happen, because ultimately, if you think about what information is, right, by the classic creationist definition of information, that it ultimately comes from a mind. And so AI, like I said, can only go as far as it's trained on. And even if it is learning, it's going to be, you know, quote learning, it's going to be learning from A, what's already out there, but then B, what AI is putting out there. And since AI is only capable of putting out essentially the mean of what humans have already produced, since, you know, I laid out why it can't actually be clever or creative or do anything actually new. It might do things that are surprising, but since it's not doing anything new, I think what's more likely is that these AIs are going to taper off, and the progress isn't going to be as exponential as people might expect. And we've already seen this over the past year. You just look for the discussions online. People are complaining about like ChatGPT not being as smart as it once was. And that's part of what I'm describing right now. And also partly due to the, you know, OpenAI trying to pull back the capabilities to make it safe in their own eyes. Safe meaning like, you know, according to like, oh, we don't want it to come up with certain jokes about people that we don't want it to make jokes about, stuff like that. So they're taming the AI, but also as more content out on the internet is generated by AI, it's just going to naturally level off and not grow anymore. And even any growth that it does make is going to be ultimately contained by it's only going to be able to grow to the point of having the average human-like output and then no farther.
Okay, let's see here. We have a listener named Burke in Washington, Pennsylvania. Burke says, from what I understand, there are many people who have been in the limelight recently are most fearful about the advances of AI because people could easily, with this technology, make a film, for instance, it might even be pornographic, involving completely innocent people who are not involved in this activity, and therefore they are being slandered in public, humiliated, they may lose their jobs, and all kinds of things in a similar vein where people's identities are being taken and used for evil purposes. It could even be something as simple as somebody who never endorsed a company or product being used in advertisements where they are getting the benefit of a celebrity, for instance, who is endorsing a company or product when he never in reality did. Aren't you concerned about this?
You know, it's certainly a concern, but I think that's just a concern that we already have to deal with anyway. It might be harder to detect today, but there are proposed solutions around that. So, Being able to prove the source of a particular testimony, for instance. So there are efforts right now to be able to prove that you created something. And then if something were to come out and claim to be you, then you could prove that you did not actually produce that.
Now, that's now, though. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when I'm considering worst case scenarios here, that just have come to my mind while hearing you. Somebody who says they have a film of someone murdering someone, and they create this thing through artificial intelligence. Could there be, in your opinion, as a software engineer? And of course, none of us are omniscient. We don't know what the future may hold when it comes to advances in technology and how amazing it may become even far beyond our wildest dreams now. But could there be a film used, a false film, AI-generated film, of your next-door neighbor murdering somebody, and there is no way technologically that it could be determined that it's a fake video?
There's certainly, you know, fabricated evidence is, fabricated evidence has been an issue for as long as we've been prosecuting crime, right?
Nothing to that extent.
Sure.
I mean, which may even lead to courts not even using evidence like that anymore.
Right, exactly. And so, you know,
which is not a good thing.
Right. Yeah. No. Ultimately, we would need to fall back on needing multiple lines of evidence in order to convict people. But there are entire nonprofit organizations today, the Innocence Project. They're dedicated to freeing wrongfully convicted, felons, we'll say, or criminals, based on new advances in DNA evidence. And, these are people that have spent 20, 30 years of their life in prison, but it turns out that they were innocent and that they shouldn't have been in prison. So, that's an issue that we deal with today, and we will certainly need to come up with some solutions to these as this technology is advanced.
Okay. We do have a listener in Littleton, Colorado. Angela in Littleton, Colorado says, what technology is currently common to most of us that we don't even realize is being produced by artificial intelligence? And I'm assuming that Angela is speaking about things that we may be witnessing in the media that is innocuous. It's not something that's harming anybody, I'm assuming that's what she means. So, in other words, it's become almost commonplace right now, and we don't even realize AI is responsible for it. Is there any example of that?
Yeah, the very first thing that comes to mind is transcription. So everything on Let's Church is transcribed by AI. And this is AI that's running on hardware that I own and operate. So it's, as far as that's concerned. And, you know, you talk to Siri, that's going to be AI. People are pretty comfortable with that. In the media, AI is largely statistics and mathematical waterfalls. So even stuff like your pedometer, that used to be like a little bead that would bounce up and down and it would count the bounces and then that would count the steps. Well, now we have much more sophisticated methods of finding signal in the noise, using AI to be able to count your steps more accurately, things like that.
Now, just out of curiosity, is this interview I'm conducting with you right now being generated by artificial intelligence?
um, this interview that you're conducting with me right now is, as far as my end is concerned, is generated by non-artificial intelligence. you'll have to testify for yourself.
And of course, on my end, most of my listeners will attest to the fact of it being not involving intelligence at all. but you just mentioned transcripts. Can you be detailed in layman's terms everything that you are doing through Let's Church that is dependent upon or at least extremely benefited by artificial intelligence? And you, please use layman terms. I am not a techie, and I'm sure there are many people, especially my age in my audience, that are not as well. I'm always amazed when I meet people or correspond with people, interact with people who have less technological knowledge than I do, because mine is pretty Neanderthal style. So if you could just go through some of these methods and ways that you're taking advantage or benefiting by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so the extent of artificial intelligence on Let's Church right now is when you upload something and it is transcribed into text. Basically, how does that work? The first step is that the machine needs to filter out any noise that is not human voices. And so then it'll essentially have a pure, representation of someone talking, even if there's background music. You have to filter out that background music and get just the voice. And then using statistics, it'll look at individual words in the audio and essentially come up with candidates for what word could that be. And sometimes it's ambiguous, and so it goes with the best word that it can come up with. And then that's all assembled into a transcript. Then there's another AI process that will insert punctuation and determine where sentences start and end and apply things like capitalization to names, that kind of thing. Now, for some of the features I was talking about earlier, I'll be taking advantage of an AI technology known as embeddings, where you can take sentences, basically words, and make a numeric representation of those sentences. So you can imagine, like, what if you had a plot of words, right? X and Y, where you could put the word goodbye in one corner, but then in the opposite corner would be the word hello. So those words are far apart from each other on the chart because they're complete opposites. And so we can think two-dimensionally. We can even think three-dimensionally. But this would be using over 3,000 dimensions for sentences. And so that's going to enable things like semantic search. So it would allow you to type search for, at a basic level, like total inability. But it'll, you know, I'm using an anthropomorphizing term here. It'll know that total inability can also be known as total depravity and find you those results as well. And that's a really basic example, but you can type in really vague notions of an entire sentence that was set at one point and pinpoint exactly where that was in the transcripts across the entire database. So the example I used, this is a demo I put together, was searching the Bible using AI for "they meant bad, but God meant good." That turns up Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. "What you intended for evil, God intended for good, that many people would be saved alive to this day." None of the words are the same, but it still finds that verse of all the other verses because of the sentiment and meaning of what the of what you were trying to search for.
And it's just a
thought that comes to mind just talking about that. The listener question was what's an area of AI that we're all comfortable with and we don't know about it. Spam filtering. This is the premise of modern day spam filtering in your email.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If anybody wants to join us on the air with a question of your own involving artificial intelligence, or maybe you have some questions about the company founded by my guest, Let's Church, give us an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer. And at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back, and don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener, simply by that listener saying, I heard about RoyalDiadem.com on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You do that when you're making a purchase of jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, and we will get 100% of the profits. If you have any intention on buying jewelry, something that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or having a one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created from your own imagination and creativity, please go to RoyalDiadem.com soon, at least to get the ball rolling on your purchase, especially if it's a custom design piece, because we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com is pulling the plug on this amazing offer where we get 100% of the profits from the sale. So, and keep in mind, we've got Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, all kinds of wedding anniversary celebrations. Perhaps you're even popping the question and proposing marriage to that special lady in your life, and you want a customized engagement ring, whatever it is. Please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to get the ball rolling on your purchase and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to ensure that we will get 100% of the profits from that sale. That's RoyalDiadem.com. We're now back with Ken Powers. We are talking about artificial intelligence, something that he is defending as a software engineer and a Christian. And if you have a question of your own, whether you agree or disagree with Ken or you're just not certain, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Now, are there any current search engines like Google, for instance, that are making use of AI? Because what you just mentioned before, I know that Google is horrible, at least many times in my own personal use of it, tracking down the origins of a quote by somebody where I'm typing in a phrase that is a crucial element of a quote by some person from history or whatever, and most of the time just typing in a phrase from a quote is not going to, it does sometimes, but it seems to me in my own use at least half or even less amount of time, less number of times, will I accurately be given the source of a quote and perhaps the full quote and the identity of the person who made the quote. So it goes back to my question, is Google even using this yet?
Yeah, Google's using it. Bing is using it more publicly and forthrightly. Bing is directly integrating with GPT-4. And there's another search engine that I use from time to time called Perplexity. So if you look for Perplexity AI, that's an AI-powered search engine. And what that'll do is essentially use a large language model like ChatGPT to expand your search query and find results that are relevant, and then form an answer from the content that it finds and link to its sources. And it'll like cite its sources in the answer.
Well, why is it then that Google seems to be very horrible when it comes to what I just said, if they're using AI already?
You know, I wouldn't be able to speak for Google.
Well, it just doesn't seem to make sense. If this technology is so advanced, and if Google is using it, like, for instance, they'll get things right, like, give me liberty, and, you know, the whole quote, mm-hmm. give me death. You'll be given the identity of the person, when it was said. But, I mean, if you get more obscure about it, things that are not commonly known to your average person, I very often wind up drawing blanks when it comes to trying to make use of that search engine.
I will say it's a very complicated space to work in. So, you know, in order to do this on Let's Church, I'm going to need to process everything through embeddings and make all those embeddings that I talked about for everything that's in the index. Now, for me, that's going to be a much smaller database than what Google has, which is, you know, basically the entire, entire world's information. With AI, there is a lot of pre-processing involved. And that's one of the differences between AI and actual intelligence is like it's statistics and it's pre-trained data. It needs to be in the corpus already in order to be searched for. That makes sense.
Yes, and. As far as I know, that a couple of pastors have mentioned their serious concern about AI generating false translations of the scripture. I alerted him to the fact that there already are false translations of the scripture. I mean, the New World Translation yes. being one of them, and some liberal attempts at providing. modern translations that are not faithful to the Greek or Hebrew. What about those kinds of things where fabrications are being created by AI and deceiving people? And it doesn't have to be what I just mentioned, but other scenarios.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what you just said. Fabrications are something that we deal with already. All throughout history, there have always been fabrications. I think technology will advance to being able to detect fabrications, more quickly. That's an optimistic view, but that example you just talked about, like you said, there's already the Queen James Bible, there's already the Book of Mormon, there's already the Jehovah's Witness translation of the Bible. We don't need advanced technology to deceive people.
All right, we have to go to our midway break right now. If anybody has a question, please submit it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please be patient with us. This is a longer break than normal in the show, as the middle break always is. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? to foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the Word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I'm asking you in the audience to please return the favor in exchange for their wonderful support of our program, that you would go to solid-ground-books.com and say thank you by purchasing books from them. If you've never purchased books from them before, make your very first purchase today at solid-ground-books.com. And if you even purchase books every month from them, make today your largest purchase than ever before, if you can afford to do so, at solid-ground-books.com. And keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and also publish for the very first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our modern day, including such current authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today. Visit that site frequently. Purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my discussion on artificial intelligence with Ken Powers, the owner of Let's Church, We have some very important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, sending in a physical check to a physical address from your post office the old-fashioned way, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, a professional private practice like a medical firm or a law firm, or maybe it's just a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, and doctrinally solid church, I have extensive lists spanning the entire globe of biblically faithful churches, and I may be able to help you find a church no matter where in the world you live. And sometimes, as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience worldwide, sometimes they've been able to find churches for listeners that are just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too. So if you are without a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. One reminder, please, folks, if you are donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never cut into the finances that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own local church where you're a member in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a gift. Also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. The Bible's very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which He has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to provide for our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God, obviously. But if you do love this show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, and you don't want the show to disappear, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you have a question for Ken Powers on artificial intelligence, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. We have Cyril in Raven, Nebraska, and Cyril says, are you opposed to any kind of advancement in technology, or should Christians always just sit back and approve of and take advantage of and seek benefit from any and all technological developments and advancements?
Yeah, well, so you and I were talking about this right before the call, right? The obvious examples that come to mind of things that we can that we oppose are things like implanting wombs in men, other genetic experiments, the current what we currently see with surgeries to make people look a certain way, we'll say.
Oh, you mean like so-called transgendered surgery?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. And so you are opposed. You're speaking, though, exclusively about biological and medical things.
I mean, that's just the first example that comes to mind. I would have to take it on a case-by-case basis. But, yeah, biological experimentation is certainly an easy one to say, like, yeah, we shouldn't mess around there.
How about, I mean, this would definitely involve biological developments, medical developments. Things like we have heard about for years, I mean, perhaps it's even being done now, and I'm not aware of it, but the proverbial computer chips being implanted in someone's brain. Now, I could understand for certain reasons, things like that, like even the late Rush Limbaugh had something surgically implanted in near his ear. I believe it may have been in his brain that enabled him to hear much more clearly after being nearly completely deaf. And I think, you know, on things like that. But what about other things that just are being done to like normal and healthy people that may be sure. done in the future to under the guise of improving their intelligence and making their brains more like computers and things like that?
Yeah. So the most present example today is Elon Musk has a startup that's working on a brain chip, right? And their present use case is enabling paralytics to currently, like the current iteration is like controlling a mouse on a computer, but their idea is to be able to control limbs eventually, right? I would say that would be a positive development.
A paralytic is the same as a paraplegic? I'm not familiar with the term.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 Just someone who's paralyzed.
Right.
Yeah. Being able to move artificial limbs and stuff like that. As for like going, so that's a chip that's like reading your brain waves and going in that direction. As for the other direction, like putting thoughts into your head and like interacting with the computer that way. I'm not familiar with any advancements or anything going in that direction. My thought on something like that potentially happening would be more or less my thought on augmented reality, which is, people might want to do it. You see people walking around with the Apple Vision headsets. I would say not so much for me. I think kind of want to. I want to be present in the world. My view of it, you go to the Apple marketing page and you see it, like every picture is a person sitting alone on their couch with the AR headset on. What if you want to sit on the couch with other people? And are you all going to be sitting together with your AR headset on? That, kind of awkward. I'm not aware of any advancements going in that direction for like brain chips, for instance.
When you say that you're not aware of any right now, could you, mm-hmm. from your experience as a software engineer, can you see that it would be no shock that things like that are on the not so distant horizon?
I would personally be shocked if it was on the not so distant horizon. I could see it being a far future thing, but I would be more in the shocked category for the near future on that.
Okay, we have Marion in Floyd, Kentucky, and Marion says, "Can you spell out in clear, understandable language, what are the many benefits that advancement in this area of artificial intelligence have in store for not only the general population, but specifically the church?"
Yeah, so the general population, uses of AI today, we talked about some of them. Spam detection, fraud detection in banking, that kind of thing. We were covering like, what if someone makes a video of me doing something nefarious? Well, the other end of that is like, is AI finding someone using your bank account fraudulently and then shutting that down and then saying, hey, look, we caught someone trying to use your actual assets. For benefiting the church, I would just point to my own company, Let's Church. It's providing searchable transcripts for everything that's uploaded to it, and the capabilities are going to be expanded as time goes on to help the body of Christ learn and help people find biblically faithful churches.
And so you were, just as you were mentioning before, you're talking about that this directory that you are envisioning having.
Yes. Yeah. The directory that I'm working on. But even as Let's Church stands today, where you can search the AI generated transcripts of everything that's uploaded.
Okay. We have Laverne in Wheatley Heights, Long Island, New York. And Laverne says, what are the things that your company currently uses that are specifically involving AI? Well, you've already mentioned that, so this may be from an earlier point.
Sure.
in the interview where Laverne sent it in before, or she perhaps you tuned in late. But do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I can be specific. I am using OpenAI's Whisper model running on my own hardware. So OpenAI, the same company that made ChatGPT, made an open source model called Whisper, translated on something like 600,000 hours of audio to turn audio into text.
Now, have you thank you, Laverne. And by the way, if any of my listeners who have submitted questions today are first-time questioners, please let me know, because if you are, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, which will be shipped out to you by Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. cvbbs.com. I work on an honor system, and therefore, if you claim to be a first-time questioner, I'm going to believe you and send you out the Bible. And we thank CVBBS.com and also the publishers of the New American Standard Bible for their generosity in making these free Bibles available to our listeners. And I was just about to ask you something, and it flew out of my head. I'm a guy that has arranged public moderated debates for decades, going back to 1996. I love arranging debates. Some people hate debates. Some people love them. Some people could care less either way. I happen to love them when they're done well. Can you imagine or envision yourself being in a debate, or even more than one debate, with opponents of AI, and what challenges to your view on this do you expect may arise from and perhaps you could even include in the answer to that statement what you view as the worst scenario of misinformed opposition to AI?
So I think the toughest question is you mentioned it earlier, the toughest issue to deal with is the fraud issue, like people fraudulently making things about you, saying something, doing something nefarious, stuff like that.
In fact, there's even a documentary right now. It does not show in the documentary any clear pornographic imagery, but the whole documentary is about a person, I believe it was a college student, seeking revenge on girls that he knew by creating these false videos of pornography that had the women that he knew, their faces were put on other women's bodies, and apparently, from what the documentary was setting forth, they looked very realistic. So that's just one example. That's something that's happening right now.
Yeah. And so I would say the proper solution to handling something like that would be better counter technology to detect fakes and along those sort of lines, rather than trying to disable AI as an entire field. Especially understanding what AI is. I used this term earlier, pile linear algebra, just a bunch of statistics, like a whole lot of statistics. It's really hard to ban math. People talk about this with encryption. We have to ban encryption. Now, you mentioned at the start of the program, I used to work at Signal, the encrypted chat company. That you know, that has its own uses, positive and negative as well. But ultimately, it's impossible to ban things like encryption because you can't ban math. So the proper solution is better countermeasures, I'd say, rather than outright bans of an entire class of technology.
Let's see. We have Jeremy, and I know I'm going to mispronounce this city, in North Dakota, Wahpeton, W-A-H-P-E-T-O-N, North Dakota. Jeremy says, some friends have created very humorous recordings through an app that they have where their voices, when spoken into the microphone involving the app, are changed into the voices that are identical to celebrities. Is there a way of detecting that this is a falsely created statement or recording of someone saying something that they never did? And I'll give you an example of that. A pastor friend of mine, as a joke, he sent me a recording of Joe Biden endorsing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And it sounds exactly like Joe Biden. Now, could you somehow run that recording through some kind of software and say, oh, this is fake?
I am not personally familiar with the countermeasures in that particular field.
But you know of its existence, right?
Oh, yeah. Like I made an audio recording of my pastor saying that he likes pineapple and pizza.
Okay.
Right? Now, in that particular instance, there were some tells in the audio. Like you could tell this sounds vaguely robotic. And I mean, that's the case with all these things right now, is that they sound vaguely robotic on their own. The tricky thing would be more like you take that AI generated voice and put it on top of like a crowd of people, or like the sound of a crowd of people. And so it sounds like you're recording someone in a crowd, then that would make it harder to detect for sure. So I'm not personally aware of the countermeasures, but I have no doubt that they are, that there are people working on that kind of thing. And there's even, like I said earlier, there's more from the artist perspective, like people not wanting their art to be ripped off.
Right.
There are proofs, or rather there are technologies in the works to be able to prove that something is original and from you rather than generated from AI trained on your work.
Like the image of an actual actor or actress appearing in something that they never appeared in and were never paid for. And in fact, I just mentioned it earlier in the program. Advertisements that I've even seen pop up on Facebook and so on, where you see celebrities endorsing something and you could tell by the lip movement that it's not quite in sync. Almost, mm-hmm. almost like a bad Godzilla movie, and you could tell that the person is not saying this. In fact, I've seen a number of the, or at least several of the more well-known Fox News hosts endorsing products that it seems patently obvious that the people themselves are not saying what they are being depicted as saying in these videos.
Honestly, I think the if we're talking about product endorsements, the easy thing right now is that you can just ignore product endorsements from celebrities because you know they're being paid.
Right. That's
so
true.
So if it's fake or if it's real,
but if you're the celebrity being ripped uh-huh. off, that's a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. So in that case, then you would be able to prove you prove the positive case. You prove this is something I put out, rather than you prove that that's a fraud that someone else put out, right?
I'm not even sure what you meant by that.
So there are ways to prove that you created something yourself using public key cryptography, which is the same way all encrypted communication works. When your computer connects to your bank server, how does your computer know that that's your bank server rather than someone who set up a clever website that looked at that, like, says, "Hey, yeah, I'm the bank," and the answer is through public key cryptography. So you're able to attest to the identity of something that you created this. And then if someone were to make a fraudulent version of some of you saying something, then you would say, you wouldn't prove that you didn't make it, but you would say, "I didn't make that. And I didn't, like, I'm attesting that these things over here are what I made, and I'm not attesting to that."
And we have Bree, just like the cheese, Bree from Choctaw, Oklahoma. And Bree says, "Can you provide a list, no matter how short it may be, of significant theological men who have endorsed AI and are not apprehensive about the advancement in this technology?"
No. I can name private individuals in my life. Not sure if they would want me to put their name out there, but I don't have a list of theologically, et cetera, men to put out there. No.
Okay, that might be a good thing to work on.
Yeah.
Take a survey of the men that are involved in what you're doing with Let's Church. I believe Alpha and Omega Ministries is involved in that as well, right? James White's?
Yes. Yeah, so Alpha and Omega Ministries was the first channel up on Let's Church, and James White was my first demo for Let's Church before it was even incorporated. And so I certainly owe a lot to him. So he is the first person that came to mind, but I did not want to speak for him on endorsing the entire category of AI technology.
Oh,
right?
And neither was I intending that by bringing him up. So I just want to make sure that was clear too.
Yeah. And especially since AI is such a broad umbrella, right? So like, does James White endorse the use of AI to transcribe all of his content going back to 1998 and make it searchable? Well, yes, because he volunteered and he talks about it on his show all the time. Does he broadly endorse AI? I wouldn't be able to speak for him. But right now, Let's Church does have 48 channels. So I could say that all of those men certainly endorse AI to the extent that it is currently used. But yeah, I don't have a comprehensive list for endorsing AI as a broad umbrella of technology.
Okay, we have a listener in Grapevine, Texas. Chuck wants to know, how did the term artificial intelligence come into vogue? What exactly is meant by that? And I'm sorry if this was already asked earlier.
Yeah. I don't know the history of how that term came into vogue. I've never been a fan of the term myself. I've always said heavy emphasis on the A for artificial, since it really is just a computer that's been programmed to mimic intelligence, right? I know, like, some of the early work was on the artificial neuron. So just being, speculating that, this idea around the artificial neuron is, and really just like the sci-fi fantasies of the past. You know, you think the Jetsons and Rosie the Robot and stuff like that. You think of all the other fiction, Skynet we talked about, Jarvis from Iron Man. There has been this like sort of impetus within us to create something that that is like us, right? So as for the technical origins of the term itself, I wouldn't be able to say exactly.
Okay. We have Lee in Bourbon, Mississippi. And Lee says, can you think of at least one argument against the advancements in artificial intelligence that you think is a credible argument?
So, I certainly think there's credibility in the fraud argument that we've talked about. I just don't think that the solution would be to, to put it bluntly, ban math. I think the solution would be to come up with adequate countermeasures.
So basically, you're saying that any of the nightmarish scenarios that you believe that could occur and rise up as a result of AI, we shouldn't be overly concerned about those, but we should be hoping that brilliant men and women develop ways to counteract against those things.
I might change the wording a little bit to, maybe not use the word nightmare scenario versus just hope that people create and not worry. But there certainly are brilliant people, as you say, working on these countermeasures that we talk about.
Okay. Let's see. We have Lacey in Copeg, Long Island, New York. And Lacey says, what are the biggest hurdles that you see involving AI that the church needs to overcome? I'm not 100% sure I understand, Lacey, but maybe you do.
Yeah, the biggest hurdles, the first thing that comes to mind is, it's been in the headlines, like an AI generated sermon or even like a service led by AI now. So that latter example is of a very liberal church. Right. But I would say, I think the thing to avoid would be the temptation to be like, oh, well, I'm just going to have this thing write my sermons for me and claim it as my own.
And that actually can already happen, can it?
Oh yeah, that can happen. And so there's a whole spectrum here. Like we would all probably agree that spell check is like an A-OK technology to use in writing your sermons, right?
By the way, I just want to let you know that spell check or autocorrect 99% of the time ruins or falsely changes nearly everything I'm trying to write, and especially in a text. Especially with autospell, it will write words that I never intended to write. Just because of the first couple of letters that I'm typing.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. You might be intending to write some very interesting words that are very unpredictable. But
just like the word the. But anyway.
I don't know. Sounds like you might need to turn it off and on again. that's a classic solution there, right?
Or hit it with a hammer or something.
Yeah. So like on the spectrum of like spell check in my sermons to AI has generated my entire sermon transcript for me, there are other areas worth discussing. Like I have this paragraph that I wrote and I just can't, I have like writer's block right now and I can't think of a way to make it flow better. Is AI a valid use there? stuff like that. Grammar correction would be another thing to consider there.
Let's see. We have... I was just looking at a question. Oh, Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And Arnie asks, can you give... in several minutes, your best presentation on why we should not fear and make use of artificial intelligence. And I'm assuming that he meant two different things by that. Not that we should not make use of artificial intelligence, but that we should not fear and we should make use. Okay.
Right. Yes. That we should not fear artificial intelligence and that we should advance it. So, just keeping in mind that it is a tool like any other tool. And so it comes down to how it is trained and how we use it. So the reason not to fear it. So if we're talking about the, you know, the large language models that are so popular and in vogue right now, I said this in other words earlier, but they can't actually do anything creative. They can only do essentially what they've been trained on, the mean output of humanity. And as more and more AI generated content goes on the internet, then new AIs are trained on what AI has previously generated, and then it kind of just levels off and doesn't really do anything interesting anymore from that point forward. And so as for why we should advance it, it being a tool, you can just use it to do the things you currently do, but do them more effectively, do things faster. I use large language models in my programming work to write boilerplate code, makes it a lot easier to write out large blocks of code that, you know, you have to review it. You have to, I remember, the initial demo of an AI called GitHub Copilot, their initial demo had was introducing security vulnerabilities into code. So, you know, you still need to be, you still need to understand what the AI is doing and writing for you in terms of code, but it does make writing monotonous boilerplate code a lot easier and a lot faster.
Okay, we have Raleigh in Adams, Tennessee, and Raleigh says, are there any instances of which you are aware where students, whether in high school or college, have used artificial intelligence to cheat on exams?
I am aware of instances where students use it to write their papers. As for cheating on exams, I mean,
well, that would be related, obviously.
So, like, cheating on exams, you know, like if you're talking about like people using their cell phones in the exam room, I'm sure that thing kind of happens. I haven't seen anything in the in the headlines. On the opposite end of this is you know, I have seen a story about a teacher putting a student's paper into ChatGPT and asking, did you write this? And ChatGPT said, oh yeah, I wrote that. Now, of course, ChatGPT doesn't have a memory, and it was actually just hallucinating that answer. Was that a
correct answer though?
No, it wasn't in that case. No.
So in other words, the student was being falsely accused, for lack of a better phrase, by the artificial intelligence.
Yeah. And so, you know, that also leads to this interesting thing to think about. So I sent you that Twitter thread before the show of a certain individual trying to exegete John chapter 6 using AI. Right. Now, the initial prompt, the initial question that he asked AI was not given, but anyone who's used these technologies for long enough knows that you can kind of even without realizing it, you can kind of give hints and leading like leading in your questions. You can ask leading questions and get the AI to answer kind of how you want it to. So that's certainly a danger to be aware of. You can't take what AI is putting out as gospel truth, because all it's trying to do is say what words, syllables, punctuation, et cetera, tokens, it's called, statistically should come next after this, after this question as a part of this answer. And so, you know, asking leading questions, it will hallucinate the answer that you are looking for.
Yeah. When it comes to artificial intelligence involving the Bible, do people have to be aware of the existence, and I don't know if there is an existence, of artificial intelligence software that is coming from a specific presupposition? For instance, you ask artificial intelligence, is Jesus God from the Bible? And, you know, if it's coming from an Arian or a Jehovah's Witness point of view, or even an Orthodox Jewish point of view, or what have you, the answer is no. But obviously, if you're a theologically sound presupposition being involved in the development of that particular artificial intelligence software, would be yes, and giving you examples of why. But is that even a thing, where there are artificial intelligence applications that are unique to certain theological perspectives?
Yeah. So if you sign up for ChatGPT Plus or Pro, I'm not sure what their subscription plan is called, but they have a feature called GPTs, where you can essentially chat with these instances of ChatGPT that are referencing a knowledge database. And there's one in there for monergism.com. And so you can ask questions and it will only reference the content from monergism.com. As for like a generic, I'm just going to ChatGPT and I'm not using any of these specific things, it is going to answer the question from the broad knowledge base. And so that's really just going to depend on what it was trained on as a whole. And it was certainly trained on, you know, content from all across the internet and not only one theological perspective.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. And if anybody wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Chris Arnzen here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest and theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com.
enriching minds, and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping world. It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. Folks, I want to remind you that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates, led by Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, a dear friend since the early 1990s. If you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, any man in ministry leadership is invited to the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon coming up on Thursday, June 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Our keynote speaker for the very first time will be Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary. Everything is free, including every person attending will receive a heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, absolutely free. If you'd like to register, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We're now back, and if you could, Ken, I want you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today in regard to this subject of AI.
I would say AI is not something to be feared, but it is a tool like any other, and that used rightly and trained rightly and done with the right motivations can help you do the things you already do, but do them faster and more effectively, and let you get more done.
All right. Well, I want to make sure our listeners remember your website. It's lets.church, LETS.church. Thank you so much, Ken Powers, for being on the program today. I look forward to what the future has in store for our involvement with one another, and I'm thankful that you have opened up a new avenue for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio to be introduced to the public worldwide. So thank you very much for initiating that connection with Iron Sharp and Zion Radio.
Thank you, Chris.
And I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.